On the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Well, you almost saw history today. Still, doesn't make it taste any better. Brewers fall 1-0 to the Pirates. This is kind of our de facto postgame show. We're going until 9 o'clock tonight. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks for joining us here on a Thursday evening, the final weekend of the first half. We will take a look back a little bit. We'll talk about today's game plenty here in the first half of the show. And also some miscellaneous thoughts, home run derby, a prospect you're going to want to hear about for the Brewers, the draft coming up on Sunday. A lot to keep track of in what's supposed to be a relaxing time of year. Now, normally we would like jump into the highlights after a Thursday day game, right, and talk about all the great stuff that happened in today's game. They got shut out. So nothing to talk about there, but honestly, the story today is obviously Paul Skenes. 7 no-hit innings, matched his career high with 11 strikeouts. I've said it before, I will say it again if you've never heard me say it before. Brewers fans know what good pitching is and bad offense is. That was fantastic, great pitching. He threw everything at any time and any count at any location. I hadn't seen Skenes in person, obviously. I'd seen him the same that you had over television. And seeing it in person, and the poise and the polish, and that every pitch was an effective pitch, it's jarring. He didn't need the velo. Certainly he had it, don't get me wrong. But the splinker, the sinking splitter, whatever you want to call it, was incredible. The slider, which he didn't even use all that much, it was his primary pitch in college. Now it's like, oh yeah, I can throw a slider too. And a curveball, oh yeah, I can throw a changeup too. He barely used the changeup today, but it was such an impressive start. Pat Murphy, Christian Yelich spoke to the media afterward today. They both certainly agreed.
Impressive all the way around. Secondary pitches, heater, command, composure. Yeah, I thought he was great. Well, he definitely adjusted. He realized where it was going. 63 pitches in 3 innings. He realized, okay, I got to do something a little different, and he did. And that's when you got to get hits off him, you know. But credit to him. That was the story of the game. He was dynamite.
Yeah, that you heard Murph allude to it. We'll get to his comments on that as well. 63 pitches in the first 3 innings. That was the most that Skenes had thrown in the first 3 innings of a game all season. But then the Brewers kind of got away from that. But at the same time, Murph explains why it's not so easy to just sit there, oh yeah, just work counts. Yeah, it's no big deal. It wasn't like Skenes was bad with his command today. He was still in and around the zone, which makes it doubly hard. Here's how Murph explained it.
You know, we had a really young offensive team that's been really good, but we have to be able to disrupt them. Once we get to 63, we got to recognize it, and we got to ensure that we get them to 100, get them out of there by 5. And then we can work on their bullpen for 4 innings. That's much easier for anybody, especially a guy as good as him. So we didn't do that. We got to 63, and then we had a couple innings where we just ran through it, swung early in the count. And, it's sensitive because if you think you get a pitch to hit and it's the one pitch you're going to get off this guy, hitting off this guy with 2 strikes is death, you know. So there's a two-edged sword there, you know. You got to credit the pitcher for coming at us in that situation. It's not so easy to just say, well, just run the pitch count up. Well, you're 1-2, you got no chance of getting on the base. Look at the numbers, 1-2 or 0-2. So there's an art to doing it, you know, but he recognized that he made the adjustment. And then, you know, then we're at a point where we got to face him for 7 innings. We certainly could have got him out of there in 6, maybe in 5, but he made the adjustment. So all credit to him.
He made the adjustment. He started to attack. And in case you're wondering what those numbers are, between an 0-2 count and a 1-2 count, meaning pitchers in the driver's seat, you're up there trying to survive, you're trying to create something out of nothing. Well, he's only allowed 2 hits all season long with an 0-2 count. Opponents just 2-for-29 with an 0-2 count against Skenes. And this is before today. And with a 1-2 count, they're hitting just 214. That is 9-for-42. So you add all of that up, 11 divided by 71, that's a 155 batting average. You're playing with fire if you're taking pitches and taking your time. Now, the Brewers were very impressive those first few innings at fouling pitches off, right? Like, Terang started the game with a 9-pitch at-bat. You saw Contreras have a 10-pitch at-bat later. You saw, I believe it was Monasterio, had a 9-pitch at-bat. Like, all of a sudden, you were getting some great ABs, but could not get the hit, an A hit, against Paul Skeens. Christian Yelich agreed he went over today against him and saw what all the hype was about.
Guys have velo in the major leagues, but, you know, just being able to pitch and kind of just throw anything at any time, it keeps you off balance. And, you know, he executed well, so he did a good job. I mean, I actually thought we did a really good job against him today. You know, I think we could have done a better job of getting him out of the game sooner. I think we let him off the hook with some at-bats there at the end where if we extended him, kind of realized what was happening, you know, we could have bought ourselves an extra inning or two. But other than that, I thought we did a good job. He's obviously a good pitcher and has great stuff, so that's what it is.
And lost in all of this is how great Aaron Civale pitched. Civale, I know he gave up a run late, but it was a 0-0 game. Like, I'm not going to complain ever about a quality start, especially going into the seventh inning and your second start working with a brand new catcher in a brand new organization. Civale, 6 1/3, 6 hits, 1 run it was earned, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Civale got the pitch count under control, 100 pitches, 70 strikes, certainly a great rate for him. He was there toe for toe, obviously still had a couple of hits in the hit column, but for a while he had only allowed singles, and until the RBI double by Yasmani Grandal, had not allowed an extra base hit in what was a classic pitcher's duel.
I think any competitor looks forward to a matchup like that. You know, it's going to be close the whole time. You know, you're going to have your best bullets every single time, and you're just going out there and competing.
The Brewers had an opportunity, 8th, maybe the 9th, and Pat Murphy was very forthcoming with the strategy talk and what they were thinking in the 8th and 9th inning when the Brewers had a couple of chances to maybe make something happen. We'll talk about that coming up next. The Brewers fall 1-0 to the Pirates, but I think the big question today is Skeens was lifted after 7 no-hit innings. He was at 99 pitches, 65 of them were strikes. So I guess I asked the fans listening tonight live, 855-616-1620, would you have left him in? You know, this is your cash cow. This is your guy that's going to lead you to the promised land. You've been very careful with him every step of the way. He's going to pitch in the All-Star game on Tuesday. Would you have let him go for the no-hitter in the 8th or 9th inning? Would you have let him keep going? Well, how long was his leash? In the words of Derek Shelton, in his eyes, Paul was getting tired. That was the manager's take. I respectfully disagree. He was still sitting 97-98 in the last inning, and he had a 6-pitch 7th inning. But he's the manager. I am not. I am just a lowly radio guy. But it's all good. What are your thoughts? 855-616-1620. Would you have left Skeens in? We'll talk about the 8th and 9th inning and the strategy that the Brewers did not execute with in today's 1-0 loss to the Pirates here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio. Tough one today. They lose the series to the Pirates. The Cardinals were idle today, so you're still 5 games up on St. Louis with 3 games to go here in the first half. Brewers had a chance, though, especially once Skeens got out of the game in the 8th inning. They went to Colin Holderman, who is the Pirates' primary 8th inning guy. He's one of the holds leaders, not just because of his last name, here in the National League. But the way that inning began, leadoff single, because, of course, as soon as you pull the guy throwing a no-hitter, you give up a base hit. So Bowers gets a base hit. Mitchell gets a base hit, which wasn't super surprising. Lefties hit Colin Holderman way better than righties. He is a traditional splits guy. I mean, by 400 OPS points, lefties are better than righties. So the first two guys do their job. They both get base hits. First and second, nobody out. 8-9-1 do. Andrew Monasterio, the hitter. He was asked to bunt. He has not laid down a sacrifice bunt in his big league career. Doesn't mean he can't do it. Doesn't mean he shouldn't be asked to do it. Quite frankly, you need to do it. He failed to on the first two attempts. He ends up striking out. The next batter, Blake Perkins. He ends up striking out. So boom, you've had no contact. First and second. 2 outs. Top of the order. But you got a lefty. Bryce Terang. He works a great at-bat. Draws a walk. Loads the bases for the guy you exactly want. William Contreras gets ahead of the count 2-1, chases back-to-back sweepers that I know he wants back, ends the inning, ends the threat. First and foremost, the bunt I thought was absolutely the right call, and Pat Murphy decided to give some insight on it and shed light on what exactly they were thinking there.
And then we had some opportunities and didn't execute, but you know, that's the way it goes. It happens. It's hard to execute. You know, it's not like it's a given, get a bunt down. You know, that's not a given. First and second, you're down one, first and second in the 8th. You'll get Terang to the plate for sure, and he's been great. And you can pinch hit
you can pinch hit. If you get second and third, then you can pinch hit for Perkins if you want. Or if you don't, get first and second, then you leave a guy in that's probably not going to hit into a double play and can do some things. And Perk against a high split righty has been pretty damn good this year. So opportunity for him. He's been in those situations a lot. The alternative is a guy that could hit into a double play a lot, and Reese, who, you know, you got to make that decision. I would have hit Reese if we got him second and third. Then they have the choice to make. And if they walk him to get to Terang, I like Terang's chances there. And we got the situation we wanted.
That last line is the most important one. I mean, what more can you ask for? You got first and second, nobody out. They didn't execute. And if you want to overreact to that, that's fine. But it's just the truth. Like, they didn't execute. If Monasterio gets that bunt down, Reese Hoskins probably comes up, and he's certainly a candidate to elevate the baseball. And then even if he doesn't elevate the baseball, let's say he strikes out or he grounds out, whatever, you've still got Terang coming up. So the Brewers are in the driver's seat in that regard, but then all of a sudden they pull over to the side of the road and couldn't get anything done. They didn't really get anything going in the ninth, but a couple of folks were asking, well, why did Sal get to hit against Chapman? But Reese Hoskins, who was going to pinch hit on deck for Jake Bowers, didn't get a chance to hit. You know, you're down by one. Don't you want a guy that can hit a home run? Well, once again, I asked Murphy this question, and he responded very cordially.
Yeah, because Sal's, if you look at Chapman, Chapman has struggled this year versus lefties. Okay, that's a fact. And his walk rate versus lefties is incredible. And who's our best guy to get on base in that situation? Yelich or Sal? So, and who's been swinging the bat fantastic, even versus lefties. So Sal's rankings versus Chapman, even on our analytics stuff, is really, really high. So, and then you hit for Bowers. So what if Hoskins is up and takes a walk? You know what I mean? You only hit a home run once every 20, you know, what, 30 AB, whatever. You know what I mean? So what if he takes a walk? Then you got to hit. Then you don't have anybody hit for the next guy. We got Churio. Well, then what about the next guy? So you got two men on, two outs, and you got to go left on left with Mitchell. And that's just not fair. So you have to make decisions there. What's your best option? Best option, get Sal in base, hit Hoskins, take a shot. If not, hit Churio.
Again, my thanks to Pat Murphy for answering so honestly and cordially. I've had some strategy conversations with Murph throughout the year, and I've been really enjoying his company, honestly. I mean, obviously, I've been covering the team since 2021 and have known Murph since I was a student at Arizona State. We were not there at the same time. We just missed each other. But the other thing is that when Murph is asked strategy questions, some managers balk and like, ah, how dare you? Murph's not that guy. So I really do appreciate that. And one day maybe he will turn to me and say, how dare you ask me that? And I'm fine with that. That's okay. I'm just trying to learn the answer. And I really do appreciate him answering honestly, not tearing down the people who ask these questions. Not just me, whether it's Adam, Todd, Kurt, Jack, whomever it is in the scrum. I thought that was a very, very good answer and valid reasoning. And a text that just popped in here from Mike. Well, Skeens was tough. Chapman had only given had been giving up one walk per inning pitched. Why swing on the first pitch, especially Frelick? You're right. Again, a lack of execution. And maybe Frelick was sitting on a pitch. We saw a ton of sliders today from Chapman. I thought was odd. He had been throwing a few more sinkers as well. Sometimes you don't realize it, but you're getting out of your game plan. I mean, look what the Brewers did the last three innings against Skeens. They completely got out of their game plan. It happens. The game can speed up on you. It can happen quickly. I'm not saying it's sped up on Sal, but would he want that swing back? No, of course. But at the same time, it's like, hey, it's Aroldis freaking Chapman. If you see something you like, don't hesitate. Swing. And he didn't make contact. He didn't execute. I understand the walk thing, and I'm sure the Brewers would have a conversation if they see Skeens again. The Brewers don't see Skeens or Chapman, for that matter, until the very end of the season. That last road trip of the year is the next time they will see them in September. So they could be a different team. The Brewers could be a different team. And every game could matter there down the stretch. Talk a little bit about pitching. Savali, Myers last night, both were fantastic. Let's talk a little bit more about that coming up next here on Brewers Weekly.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Brewers fall to the Pirates. They drop the series 2-3. The Nats come to town next. We'll talk about them in the next segment. Talk a little pitching here. I'm Dom Catronio. I thought Savali was really good today, and I mentioned it earlier that he got overshadowed by what Paul Skeens was doing. Aaron, sort of, this is my first time meeting him actually today, but very, short and to the point with the media. That's okay. But here's what he had to say about his adjustments from start to start, from his Dodger debut last week, Friday at Dodger Stadium, to what he did today.
5 more days in with these guys, so getting comfortable with them, getting comfortable with the area, and just felt good going out there and attacking. I think just had a good game plan going in, was attacking, we're attacking hitters, mixing up the pitches and just going right after them.
Yeah, he wasn't shy. 100 total pitches, like we said, but the mixing is what really jumped out to me. 32% cutter, 26% sinker, 23% slider, 16% curveball. I mean, that's mixing. That is keeping you on your toes and trying to figure out what is going to be coming at you. Don't know what exactly it is going to be. So 100 total pitches. Got a few more swings and misses today as well. I thought that was important for him. He's not really a swing and miss guy. Got 11 whiffs out of 49 total swings. So that's a 22% rate, which is below league average. But again, he's not a guy that relies on that. The big pitch today for me was that big curveball. I mean, I was looking a little bit deeper into the numbers. Man, the vert on that. I mean, it can get up to 58, 59 inches of vertical movement, which is a foot, you know, or 5 feet. Like, that's an insane amount of break on that curveball. Something that I really think is going to be a weapon for him. I don't love the sinker, but granted, he's a guy that really struggles with getting ground balls. But yet he uses the sinker elevated, which is kind of odd. It's kind of like an oxymoron, if you will. You don't want to elevate a pitch that's meant to be a ground ball pitch, but he uses it well. I think it's meant kind of like Colin Ray, the way he uses his cutter and his sinker and his four seamer, where it's like, surprise, this one's actually coming in on a righty or away to a lefty. The problem is he sees so many lefties that you don't traditionally throw sinkers to lefties, and because it goes right into their barrel. And maybe that explains some of the reasoning why he has struggled against lefties so far this season. But yesterday we talked about it in the show from Wednesday night. I encourage you to listen to that on your podcast feeds at Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. Maybe you're listening to it now here on the pod. But Tobias Myers last night was fantastic. And I talked to him a little bit today in the clubhouse. Tobias was telling me the mentality shift for him. And we've talked about this a few times now with Tobias, in that how when he was optioned after a tough couple of go of things early in May, but then all of a sudden Joe Ross has his back seized up. And you're like, okay, well, have Tobias come back up. He made an appearance out of the bullpen, made another start against the White Sox, really struggled in that start, 7 hits, 5 runs. It wasn't pretty. He's optioned again the next day. Robert Gasser is up. Then, oh no, Robert Gasser gets hurt 4 days later. So Tobias comes right back up. And between having struggle start against the White Sox to his next start, which was the Tigers start, which started this run, completely different guy. I was talking to him about that. He said, you know what? I just realized I needed to stop throwing perfect pitches. My stuff plays. I've got to trust it. I've got to believe in it. And when I find that fastball command, I'm really tough to beat. And that's exactly what we saw yesterday. All 6 strikeouts looking on fastballs. That's something that can really build your confidence. And this isn't meant to be a joke about the Pirates offense or anything like that. They took a lot of close pitches. They refused to swing the bat yesterday for some reason. But also, that is one of their game plans. The Pirates are a very patient team, just like the Brewers. But the difference is the Pirates actually chase more than the Brewers, even though they swing among the same rate. So, like, they're swinging at the wrong pitches, and they really struggled in that regard. But I was really, really happy with Tobias yesterday, and it leads you to this bigger picture. Like, man, you start scratching your head here, and you're like, okay, well, Joe Ross is on his way back. D.L. Hall, it's going to be another week and a half or 2 weeks or so, but he's coming back. Devin Williams is coming back. Jared Kanick threw a bullpen today. Seems like all systems go there. Maybe a couple more for him. And then all of a sudden you think, like, is it 1, 2, 3, 4? I mean, that's 3 guys that are on the 60-day IL right now that need to get 40-man spots between Joe Ross, D.L. Hall, and Devin Williams. Jared Kanick has options available. Elvis Peguero has options available. Yoel Piamps does not. Anoli Paredes, who's on the injured list right now, does not. Then you look at your decisions of like, all right, you try to be smarter with Brian Hudson. He went an inning and two thirds today. That was super important for him to get back on track. But you just start realizing you've got too many guys for too few spots right now. And the decision that looms for the Brewers when Devin returns and when all these other arms return, Joe Ross, 3 2/3 last night in Nashville. He'll have probably two more starts in Nashville before he's back here in the big leagues. Want to get him 4, 5, 6 ups maybe to get him back here in the big leagues. And I remind you, Joe Ross was pretty solid in that first month. And then the back started to seize, and it's been over a month now. So would love to see him, almost 2 months now, would love to see him back sooner as opposed to later. And D.L. Hall, I don't think he's going to be your traditional role. He might be in that tweener role that we saw like Brandon Woodruff do, or Freddie Peralta do, or Corbin Burns do when they first arrived as rookies, where it's like, hey, I need like 8 outs out of you today. Can you do that? And that's where I think D.L. Hall is going to slide in, which will help this bullpen. I really do think so. So those are just some pitching thoughts from the last couple of days for the Brewers, as it's getting pretty crowded. But I want to talk about some rehabbers and talk about a minor leaguer that I teased here at the top that you may or may not have noticed is making some moves. And I'll explain why here in just a minute. Brewers fall today 1-0, but we're rolling on here to the top of the hour on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, a couple news and notes here. 855-616-1620. Got another 25 minutes or so here on the program. I'm Dom Catronio. Had a great chat today, actually, with Matt Arnold. Just hanging out in the clubhouse today. Was walking around. We don't generally talk to Pat Murphy on day games, so just saw Matt there and struck up a conversation. And it's his busy season, him, Tom Johnson, and everybody getting ready for the draft on Sunday. They will do that here remotely, call in to the draft out down in Texas, and have some fun. They got 4 picks coming up on Sunday. 4 picks in the top 70. This is what they do. Now, they'll generally have 3 picks, right, because of the competitive balance round. It alternates between the A round and the B round. But now they have an extra B round pick because of the Corbin Burns trade. Those are the only draft picks that are tradable, competitive balance picks, which some folks have teased and floated the thought of, including myself, what if you can make draft picks tradable? Like all draft picks, like you see for other sports. The counter to the reason why you don't do it is because a team like the Yankees can just sit here and say, we'll give you 3 first rounders and we know we can afford to go get another, you know, whatever on the free agent market. You know, there are a lot of teams, the big market teams can, whatever, we can lose draft pick. We'll just go make money. We'll get our guys in the, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th round that are just as valuable. So it's tough, but I wonder if one day that could happen. But yes, you can trade competitive balance picks. So very busy week here for the Brewers. But the minor leaguer that I talked about with Matt Arnold was Tyler Black. You may have noticed yesterday, Tyler Black made his first career start in center field. And tonight, he started at third base again. First time this year he started at third base. He had been solely a first baseman all season long. Tyler has been optioned twice now this season. He had previously only been a first baseman. Now, this season, I should say, because he was originally drafted as a second baseman, then was a third baseman, and now is playing first, and maybe now a little bit of center field. Basically, the Brewers feel, look, Tyler's an athlete. He's going to be able to play and adjust anywhere. The Brewers believe in drafting athletes and not, you know, just run-of-the-mill, you are only confined to this position. And they found themselves saying, you know what, let's give Tyler a chance to add a feather in his cap. And there was a name that Matt Arnold shared with me, and I know he shared this with me, willing to share it and willing to say, said, you know what, I really see a Ben Zobrist in him. Remember, of course, Matt Arnold was with the Rays for so long, saw Ben Zobrist there where he really made a career, then the Royals and the Cubs and the A's, and really, 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 really good career for Ben Zobrist. I think he's going to be better than that, quite frankly. I love Tyler Black's ball strike, and I called him Vatovian. I'm going to make that a word, Joey Vatovian, if you will. And he's Canadian, which is certainly a thing, but keep an eye out for that. Tyler Black kind of playing all over the place right now for the Crew. Another couple of thoughts here from the Brewers injury front. We already mentioned Joe Ross and D.L. Hall. Devin Williams, if you're up in Appleton, Getting ready to watch the Timber Rattlers this weekend. Devin Williams scheduled the pitch on Saturday. This should be fun. And the report from the other day, Andrew Monasterio and Jake Bauer saw him when he faced live hitters on Tuesday. They basically said, look, that stuff looks good. That looks like the Devin Williams we know. And Devin feels great. He wants to get things back as soon as possible. I would be shocked if he's active against the Twins. I would be less shocked but still surprised if he's active against the Cubs. I would not be surprised if he's active against the Marlins in that series coming back from the All-Star break. Remember, he's restarting his spring training right now. But at the same time, the dude's feeling good. And he's really, really grinding and getting ready to go. I'm excited to see Devin Williams to make things a little bit easier for the crew. Another note, Joey Ortiz, I'm pulling it up right now, what he did tonight. Because of the tweener schedule, right? So yesterday, Appleton, the Timber Rattlers had a day game, and now today they had a night game. So Joey Ortiz was able to hang out for a little bit today at the ballpark and then drive up and play with the Timber Rattlers here tonight. And the thought was he can get a couple of ABs and get back into action. Joey Ortiz today, he hit second. He got three plate appearances. He went 0 for 2 with a walk. He also played defense, playing third base. He is now out of the game and on his drive back down here to Milwaukee. He is eligible to be activated off the injured list tomorrow. And quite frankly, Pat Murphy told us on Wednesday, no, we expect to activate him this weekend before the All-Star break to make sure you can get a couple of ABs under his belt before you have to sit down for 5 days. So Joey Ortiz's return is imminent, which is great, great, great news for the Brewers, especially given they're going to see a couple of lefties, or I think just one lefty, if I'm not mistaken. Just one lefty, Mitchell Parker, coming up this weekend against the Nats. The Nats just got swept by the Mets this week. They were a good story early. Now they've started to sort of fall apart a little bit. Trevor Williams was a great story as well, former pupil of Pat Murphy's as well. But he's injured right now with a flexor strain. Right now, the Nats, they're really clinging on. They're not quite in the race anymore, and they've got a couple of pieces that they are certainly thinking about selling. Yeah, Jesse Winker is one of them. Lane Thomas with an extra year of control. CJ Abrams is an all-star, and congratulations to him. But at the same time, this team, they're not great defensively, not super great defensively anyway. But if you remember the last couple of years, Lane Thomas has just been raking against the Brewers. They do not have any power as well. They're second to last in home runs in Major League Baseball. Fifth to last in team OPS. They are last in barrel rate. And they really don't have a ton of speed either. So wonder what kind of matchup this would lead to this weekend. The pitching matchups, once again, as we mentioned, the lefty going on Saturday. Tomorrow, they'll be calling up Jackson Rutledge. He'll be making another start. He's made an appearance already this season in the big leagues. Rutledge, 25 years old, 6'8". He's a top 30 prospect for them. This will only be his second appearance in the big leagues this year, his first start as a big leaguer. Down in AAA, 16 starts. He's got a 6.66. Ooh, sign of the cross. Real quick, get out of there. But anyway, he's getting the start tomorrow. Lefty Mitchell Parker, two first names, Ricky Bobby, going on Saturday. And then Jake Irvin, who's been fantastic for the Nationals. Jake Irvin will go on Sunday. The Brewers, they will counter with the following rotation. It would be Freddie Peralta tomorrow, Dallas Keuchel on Saturday, and Colin Ray on Sunday, which ideally would line up Freddie Peralta as well coming up on Saturday against the Twins coming up out of the break. The only response on the no-hitter question, Doug came in, said, I would have left him in, wanted to see some history. Wish the Brewers had him. Wow, of course. Well, he was the number one pick overall, Doug. Weren't going to be. You don't want the Brewers to be picking number one overall because that means they missed the postseason. Granted, the Guardians have the number one pick on Sunday, and they really were only, what, six games, eight games under 500 last year? That's the new lottery system. Teams like the A's, teams like the Rockies, it's no guarantee that you're going to get that number one pick. Another question here about the roster crunch upcoming. Milner, Pyomps, are those options for the Brewers considering the roster crunch? I think everybody's on the table. If you're not optionable, you're going to have to perform. It's that simple. The Brewers are running out of space. And yes, there are some guys that have provided some really, really important innings for the Brewers. But at the same time, there are some guys that haven't performed like they're used to. Payoms and Milner. Now, I believe that they can get back on track, but they're up against Father. They're up, not against Father Time, but they're up against the eight ball here. They're running out of time to prove that they should stick around. So probably 2-3-ish weeks left until Devin returns. Just something to keep in mind. Take a breather. Come back with more. Some miscellaneous notes. Got some home run derby field all finalized and getting near the end here of the program. Brewers Weekly going to the top of the hour on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Home Run Derby coming up on Monday. I used to love the Home Run Derby. It's kind of changing up a little too much for my taste. I love the timer, but I think it could have worked if they actually enforced the no pitch until the ball lands rule. They stopped enforcing that the last couple of years. I just never understood that. And now they've changed it to like 40 pitches in the first couple of rounds. And I get it. They're trying not to wear out their stars because like all the years that you see record breakers, right? Like Vlad or Julio or Josh Hamilton. Like none of those guys won the home run derby because they got gassed in the first round. So they're trying to save that in some regard. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 if you're listening live here on WTMJ. This text from Mike in Colorado. Who goes down when Joey Ortiz comes back? Vinny Capra. Vinny Capra, utility infielder. He is here he was originally a Pirate years ago, and he's just up here. He was the replacement, so he has an option year remaining. You'll send him back down and get some regular at-bats down in AAA Nashville. This text from the 262. Is Bryce Train going to slide into the All-Star game somehow? I wouldn't hold your breath. I think Arraez is going to get in, and Ketel Marte is healthy. He's played the last three games. So some folks were saying, oh, his back's hurt. He's not going to play. Like, well, today would have been the day that they announce it because today Jose Altuve announced that he's not going to play in the All-Star game, which gave Marcus Semien the chance to be the starter at second base in his home park, which is pretty cool for Marcus Semien. I'm always a massive Marcus Semien fan, even back to his Oakland A's days as well. So a couple of good questions there as well. Home Run Derby. The field is set. Who you got in this one? Gunnar Henderson, Adolis Garcia, Pete Alonso, Jose Ramirez, Alec Bohm, Marcell Ozuna, Bobby Witt Jr., and Teoscar Hernandez. So a couple of tie-ins here. Bobby Witt Jr., of course, his dad, Bobby Witt, played for the Rangers. He grew up in the Dallas area. That'll be cool for him. He's a massive Dallas sports fan still. I remember when the Royals were here last year, I went up to him and talked to him a little bit because the Stars, the hockey team, they were still in the Western Conference final at the time, or the semifinals a year ago, and they were dialed in. It was game six that night trying to get back into the Stanley Cup final, but they ended up losing to the Vegas Golden Knights last year, and then this year they lose to the Edmonton Oilers, who lost, of course, to the Florida Panthers. But Bobby Witt Jr. is a fun story, of course. Adolis Garcia, he's a Ranger, going to have the hometown crowd going nuts for him. Jose Ramirez played in the Home Run Derby in 2021 in Los Angeles. Remember, he almost got burned to a crisp with the pyrotechnics behind him and everything. That was a funny meme for a couple of weeks. Teoscar Hernandez, sneaky under the radar. I'm a little annoyed that Pete Alonso's in it again. I mean, I get it. He's won it twice. But there was a great article written in The Athletic this week, like, hey, Major League Baseball insisting on Pete Alonso being in the Home Run Derby might have cost Francisco Lindor or Brandon Nimmo an All-Star spot. And it's the truth. I mean, how has Brandon Nimmo never been an All-Star? He's a great player, and he's been an incredible season. And Francisco Lindor, I was listening to a podcast this week on The Athletic, a big fan of Rates and Barrels of Eno Saris, Derek Van Riper. Derek, of course, a Wisconsin guy, Brewers fan through and through. And they were talking about the fact that Lindor, who had the quietest 30-30 season ever last year, right now has a 768 OPS. He's got 16 homers, 26 doubles. And I get it. It's the Mets. Everyone's like, oh, the Mets. The dude hasn't been an All-Star since 2019 with Cleveland. He was an All-Star four straight years. Just back-to-back top 10s and MVPs. Probably going to get another one this year. I'm shocked that Francisco Lindor has not been an All-Star as a Met yet. We'll see what happens in the future for him. Those are just some quick miscellaneous thoughts on this one. We'll look ahead to the upcoming schedule. We'll get you ready for the All-Star break and take a quick peek back as well as we get ready to wrap up the show after this on WTMJ.
It's Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, let's get ready to say goodnight here. Real quick note, Phillies ended up finishing that sweep against the Dodgers. So don't look now, but I know everyone was doom and gloom after the loss in the series to the Dodgers over the weekend. The Brewers are once again only one game back of the second seed. And they've still got a four-game series to play head-to-head here at American Family Field next month. Just something to keep an eye on. They're still not out of it for the second seed, and they certainly control their own future in that regard. This weekend, 7:10 tomorrow, 3:10 on Saturday, 1:10 on Sunday. We start the hour before each night. We're on the air at 6 tomorrow, on the air at 2 on Saturday, and on the air at noon on Sunday. Then it is your All-Star break. And not only is it your All-Star break, it is my All-Star break as well. Definitely going to unplug for a few days and get ready to go. 5 days off, and then you get the Twins on Saturday and Sunday in Minnesota. Come back here to Wrigley, last matchup of the year with the Cubs. Three-game set Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against the Cubbies. And then another off day the following Thursday, and then back home for the Marlins coming up this week. So I wanted to do a little fun activity here as we wrap up the program. I've just minimized at least 100 plate appearances this season for the Brewers. Just play along with me. Who's leading in batting average? You know that answer because he's leading the National League, Christian Yelich. Who's leading in the most hits on the team? William Contreras. Who's got the most doubles on the team? William Contreras. Who's got the most homers on the team? That's a tie. Rhys Hoskins and Willy Adames. Who's got the most walks on the team? Willy Adames. That was the one that threw me a curveball. Leading it on base, no surprise, that would be Christian Yelich. Leading in slugging, also no surprise, Christian Yelich. And thus, he is also leading in OPS. I think for me, the biggest surprise and smile that I'm going to remember from this first half, which is not over yet, and we'll talk more about this on Sunday's show, is the emergence of this bullpen of a bunch of guys, with all due respect, came out of nowhere. Brian Hudson, Jared Koenig, Trevor McGill. Now, Trevor McGill didn't come out of nowhere, but he's closing games, and it's been incredible for him. The emergence of those guys. And Ole Paredes had a couple of really good games. The Brewers have been able to continue keeping things rolling when it comes to, it's a cliche, next man up, but it really is working right now for the Brew Crew. Three more games before the end of the first half. Hope you tune in all weekend long. I'll be here with you for reacting to all of it. Thanks to our producers today, Matt Yazel and Nate Rilling. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers back at it tomorrow against the Nats. Until next time, keep on swinging.